Welcome to this new episode of So French, the show about the twists and turns, intrigues and insights to all things French.
Every 2 weeks, we select the best, most interesting and fascinating of French news stories, all brought to you from the heart of Paris.
And also bonjour to all of you listening on World Radio Paris, the digital radio station in the Paris region. So French is broadcast every second Saturday on 5:30 p.m. and then rebroadcast throughout the week. You can check out the rest of WRP's interesting programs on worldradioparis.fr.
And this week, France has a new president. But who is really this Emmanuel Macron?
Well, he seems to have taken the international community by storm. And we ask ourselves, are the French more measured or are they as enthusiastic as the rest of the world? And for what reasons?
Well, you may not have noticed yet, but L'amour is dead.
Oh.
The man who had the Parisians bump into love in every street corner has passed away. We'll tell you more about that later in the show. And also, of course, Maud de Decamp will bring us a fresh French word of the day.
But first, today we are at a special location. We are still in the heart of Paris, but we're overlooking the beautiful gardens of the Louvre. We are actually at the Swedish club. What's this club, Sarah? You're Swedish, but that's not the reason why we're here, right?
No, well, just a word on Swedish club. It's one of the oldest international clubs, actually, in the world. This is where, Swedes can come together and have some gravlax and and coffee. But this is actually where we're sitting is just a couple of hundred meters from where Emmanuel Macron held his victory party on Sunday.
Yes.
We're only a couple of hundred meters away from the Élysée Palace, where the, now sitting President François Hollande will soon be leaving his office. And
the real reason why we're here, we are on the second floor, but from Monday there will be a new tenant in this building, right?
It will be François Hollande will have his new offices just in this same building, actually, just probably a couple of stairs up from where we are.
Yeah, so we're in the heart of the city at the Rue de Rivoli. And, you should know that all the ex-French presidents, they're entitled to an own office for life, two security guards, two chauffeurs, and a couple of people of staff. So to the end of the life of François Hollande, we will pay his beautiful office here at the Rue de Rivoli. There are now with him, there are four ex-presidents, Giscard d'Estaing, who's not far away from here either, in the next to the Assemblée, Nicolas Sarkozy, Jacques Chirac, of course, and then François Hollande. So this costs a lot of money to the French taxpayers, but at least they have a beautiful view. The same we're having
and
now.
And we're being great company, you know?
Yeah, Swedish club. It's a very nice club, by the way. In the Rue de Rivoli, it's also non-Swedish people can go here, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, there are nice jazz concerts and lunches, so we can really recommend it. So that's the reason why we're here this week in the Rue de Rivoli.
In the Nobel Room we're sitting at.
Oh, yeah, with the Nobel Room. Yeah, that's why we're, of course, promoting peace at So French, so we're at the Nobel Room. Very, very nice place.
Merci, mes amis. Merci à vous d'être là ce soir, parce que oui, ce soir, vous l'avez emporté. La France l'a emporté.
So let's talk about the elections. The victory was pretty clear. 66.1% for Emmanuel Macron, 33.9% for Marine Le Pen. We have a new president, but who is he?
Well, I've been trying to figure out, because what we've been talking about before even this election is that how little we actually know about Emmanuel Macron. Well, he's 39 years old, that much we know. He has been working in public sector, working for the government, and he has also been working in the banking sector. But as a person, we actually don't know very much about him. So I've been spending this last week, there has been a couple of documentaries on French television.
Yeah, very good ones, actually. Yeah,
two very good ones following the full year before this election. But a couple of things comes out. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, sure.
the image I get is that someone is extremely determined. For someone who is 39 years old and to become the president, he seems to have a lot of determination. And as when it comes to everything in his life, not necessarily that he had the eyes on the presidency, but he seems to be a very determined person. And that he has managed to get to where he is thanks to his incredible charm. And I think that is what we can see, how he has been able to charm, actually, especially the international community, because if you read the international papers, they have been all over the place about this new young French president. And so charm, also a very important feature in his presence, and extremely intelligent.
Yeah, well, yes, charm, I totally agree, because I interviewed him 2 years ago. It was an interview, one-to-one, so for an hour. And I immediately liked him. Of course, I should not say that, being a journalist, but he was very human. He was very interested. He asked very pertinent questions, and he was not doing that because he was trying to be polite or trying to be nice. He seemed to me sincerely interested. And then I thought, well, yeah, this guy is really interesting. This one could become a very important factor in French politics. But
did you see him as a president by then?
Not yet. No, I thought well, maybe in 2022 when he went, you know, when he left last year as a minister, I thought, well, that's a little bit early, too short. You know, he has no party. Maybe in 2022, in 5 years, but he's already there. It's really incredible.
There's one more thing that actually struck me when I've been trying to sort of look at who Emmanuel Macron is, and the fact that he seems to be pretty much making decisions by himself, and someone who is not necessarily in need of other people, as you say, he seems to be communicating with others, interested in others, but what people are saying, and most people who are close to him say that he makes the decision on his own. And this could be something that, it could be an advantage, because what some say, that when once you become the president, it's the big emptiness. You're all on your own, you're in this big Élysée palace, and you're on your own. So it could be an advantage in that case that he's actually used to this loneliness and making decisions on his own. At the same time, I mean, maybe you could need actually other people around you, and someone who can tell you, well, you know, that's a wrong decision, that's a good decision, someone who can give you proper feedback on your work. So I think that could be probably the character that might be the most interesting one to see now how it plays out when he actually enters the Élysée Palace.
Yeah, and it's also something that people say that François Hollande was one of the errors of François Hollande, that he really made all the decisions on his own. He tried to stay friends with everybody, but he never let anyone in his decision. So he was pretty lonely as well. This is not a mistake that Macron should make again, because then he will be, I think, in difficulty in a couple of years, or maybe already before the end of the year. But of course, it's a president. It's the elected head of state with the most power in the world. It's a very heavy function, especially at 39 years. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. I think it's a very interesting choice. And it also shows that, I mean, we've been talking about that many times at So French, how old the French politicians are. They are in politics for 30, 40 years, and nothing seems to change. And now there's
boom.
Yeah, boom. The youngest head of state of the European Union, and the youngest head of state of France since Napoleon I took power in 1799. So yeah, that's really very impressive.
Vous écoutez So French.
You are listening to So French.
Now, 2/3 of the French voters voted for Macron. There was a huge abstention rate, that should be said as well, and a lot of people who voted blank as well, over 4 million people. I looked at the other elections in Europe, and it's about 40 times as much as in the other countries in Europe. In the Netherlands, it's 0.2%, in Sweden, the same. And in Spain, it's pretty high, 0.4%. Here, it was over 8%. So
it was a real strategy, it must be said, in the weeks coming up just before the election, that there was this movement pushing for people to actually vote blank and to put just a white ballot paper.
Yeah, and it's also a way to protest, of course, because it's a very binary election. It's black or noir, noir ou blanc, two choices. So people, well, who were not really happy with Macron or Le Pen, they casted a blank vote as a way of protesting.
Yeah, and showing that they fulfill their obligations.
Civil duty, exactly, as it's called.
But they still protest.
Now, who are these people who voted for them?
Well, it's actually quite interesting. Macron seems to have won pretty much across the board, almost all age categories. He had the most votes. With employees, he had the most votes, as would self-employed. With less educated and more educated, he seems to have won, you know, more votes all over the place. But where you can see that Marine Le Pen actually did her best scores is, as one would expect, with the working class, where she reached 56%, and also with the poorest of the French, where she reached actually almost 70%, 69%. And she, I mean, not to forget, she doubled the score of her father in 2002. So even if this, yes, it was a big defeat for Marine Le Pen, but still...
Yeah, it was a defeat with a silver lining, actually. She did really, really well. But yeah, it's a record number of votes, twice as many as her father got in 2002. So it's an absolute, well, if you couldn't, you can't call it a victory, but it's absolutely a very impressive result.
But a small little detail of something that might be been a bit of a backlash for Marine Le Pen was, you know, she announced Nicolas Dupont-Aignan as her prime minister before the second round, sort of trying to ally him and his voters to sort of gain some more votes. It turned out this was probably not the best choice, because actually out of those 5% who voted for Nicolas Dupont-Aignan in the first round of the election, 27% voted for Macron in the second round. So maybe it wasn't as good of a choice, and you know, maybe...
Yeah, and also in his party, Debout la France, of Nicolas Dupont-Aignan, there were many people who left the party, also MPs, because they were upset that he joined Marine Le Pen. And even in his own city, Hyères, that's a suburb in Paris, where he's Dupont-Aignan is a mayor, there were protests for many days against their own mayor. So
yeah, because he had been very harsh against Marine Le Pen before all of this happened. So yes, of course,
but at least he joined Marine Le Pen before the defeat, which is some kind of noble way compared to what's happening this week, isn't it? I mean, as is the case after every fight, every war, actually, the battlefield now is littered with casualties and wrecks, and it's
They're all over the place. Littering the whole field. Yeah. I mean, it's what we've seen this only a couple of last days is absolutely amazing. It's amazing, especially when it comes to the National Front.
Yeah, let's start with the National Front, the FN wreck, as we can call it. It's incredible. Eh? Marine Le Pen gambled. She did very well. She didn't want
to win.
Doubled the vote. But the day after, the Front National was already almost imploding. So
the backstabbing could begin.
Yeah, exactly.
Marine Le Pen has been blamed for this, what many say is a defeat, and that she actually didn't go all the way through and win the second round of the presidential election.
On the evening of the election, Marine Le Pen already announced that she would reform the party. She would choose a new name, a new strategy. But she has also problems from inside. Let's talk, for instance, about Marion Maréchal Le Pen. That's her niece. 27-year-old, the youngest MP in France's history, 27 years, and she declared this week that she was going to retire.
She's retiring, and she is seen as, you know, the hard right side of the National Front party. She is more linked to Jean-Marie Le Pen, so Marine Le Pen's father and the founder of the party. La droite dure, la Front National dure, like a hardcore National Front. But she's now saying that she's retiring to take care of her daughters, spend more time with the family, and also work in the private sector. Is this just strategy? Is one thing
to come back?
To come back later, because, yeah. I mean, as we said, she's very, very young. Maybe now, you know, the parties are pretty much, you know, all over the place. Maybe she just doesn't want to be part of that and takes a step back just to return in, you know, when the party is more back on track and she can
Yeah, and even if she comes back in 10 years and gets elected to president, she will still be the youngest president in France's history because she's only 37. And then in 2027? And of course, Emmanuel Macron is already 39, so he's old compared to Marion. Now, another important figure of the Front National said this week that the discussion about leaving the euro is a thing from the past. It's Gilbert Collard, he's one of the three MPs of the Front National. That's a really... well, paradigm shift. It's completely, it's a breaking with the past of the Front National, right?
Well, you have the two sides of a National Front. You have, as I mentioned, the side of with Marion, Maréchal Le Pen, and the side of the old party figures who are very fixed on immigration, racist policies. And then you have the newer side where Marine Le Pen, the leader of the party, has been trying with the help of some of her closest aides to create a normalization of the party, talk less about the pure racism and still about immigration, but in another using another language, and also focusing more on leaving the European Union, leaving the euro, and trying to create more of an anti-establishment party of National Front.
Now, the Front National is in trouble, but the Socialist Party, the PS, they made the biggest mess.
To begin with, the first round of the election was a complete disaster for the Socialist Party. Their candidate, Benoît Hamon, gained how many percent of
I
the
think,
vote?
I think 6.
6% of the vote, which is
nothing.
Ridiculously low. But of course, the Socialist Party is now in shambles. And we have seen over this last week new movements being created every new day with people leaving the party to sort of go to some,
On Thursday, every couple of hours, because there were two movements being announced. One of the a movement by the mayor, socialist mayors of Paris and Lille in the north of the country, Anne Hidalgo and Martine Aubry. Also joined by the ex-Justice Minister, Christian Taubira. And there was also another movement.
Which is Benoît Hamon.
Yeah, Benoît Hamon, exactly.
That he will create his own movement, but after the legislative elections. Will there be anything left of the Socialist Party, Stéphane?
It's very hard to say. I think it will be very difficult. It is a party that was founded in 1971, and I think they're just finished. It's over with this social democracy. They did a very bad campaign. Nobody wants to be identified with them anymore. And a lot of the socialists are trying to join Emmanuel Macron's ship. Maybe the most prominent one is the ex-prime minister, Manuel Valls.
Well, we'll see where that one will end up, because
that was
really
funny, actually.
Just mention quickly what has happened. The former prime minister, Manuel Valls, trying to join the En Marche movement, Emmanuel Macron's movement, and...
Yeah, well, on Tuesday, so the day after the elections, Emmanuel Valls said, I'm a candidate for the En Marche, with the elections, the general elections. Only less than an hour, En Marche replied with, no, he did not apply. He should apply online like everybody does. So, he's not a candidate. So he tries. There were many, many funny tweets about Emmanuel Valls. I read one that says, in order to respect the gender equality in the En Marche party, Manuel Valls just announced that he will change his sex. So, but he will do anything. But the funny thing is that En Marche, so Emmanuel Macron, he doesn't really like Manuel Valls. So it's probably he will probably out of politics after the next elections. He's also one of those dinosaurs who's in politics since at least 30 years. He never had a job in real life. So, but it's quite embarrassing to see somebody trying so.
Reaching the level of humiliation.
Absolutely,
I think.
Yeah. So that's Manuel Valls and all the other socialists trying to leave the socialist wreck to join Emmanuel Macron's ship.
All of these divisions.
Shenanigans.
Now brings us to our word of the day. Maud Decan is joining us. Hello, Maud.
Hi, Sarah. Hi, Stéphane.
Tell us, what is your word of the day?
Well, the French word of the week is the word rupture, that we could translate by a burst or a split or a break or a breakup. It comes from the Latin ruptura. And well, there is no specific story about the meaning of this word, as rupture has always meant the same thing. But we have witnessed a very interesting example of rupture this week, the burst of the traditional French political parties. Since the election of Emmanuel Macron last week, nothing is the same here, meaning all the political codes have blown up. I'll give you a good example. The former French Prime Minister Manuel Valls has not been invested by En Marche, the presidential party, for the legislative elections. And it came as a huge surprise, as the man has a significant political experience. But with Emmanuel Macron, this is now the rupture with the old political practices, and there is no more free pass for politicians.
So that was rupture, a very appropriate So French word of this episode. Thank you very much, Maud Descamps.
So now, after all this politics and all that, just get some art and culture into this show today, because we are soon, we're in the season of Cannes Film Festival.
Next week, even. Thursday, 17 May.
Next week, yeah. Even. And this year, there's some news in the lineup.
This year, there's an interesting, quarrel, actually. Of course, technology is changing, also in cinema, and especially with the giants like Amazon Prime Video and Netflix. The world is changing. Now, Netflix has produced two major films that are selected for the Cannes Festival this year. It's the Mayuri Rich Stories by Nao Baumbach, the director, and Okja by Bong Joon-ho, another director. Now, two films of the 19 films that have been selected for the Golden Palm, the Palme d'Or. But because it's Netflix, the normal cinemas in France are not happy, because they say these movies have not been shown or are not programmed in our cinemas. This is disloyal competition. We don't like that. So they try to block the films. Now, the festival organizers said, well, these films are good, so they deserve to be selected. They tried to negotiate with Netflix that they will release the movie in the cinemas in France. But the problem here is that as soon as a movie is shown in the cinema in France, then there's a rule that you cannot show it on TV within 36 months of the release. Now, Netflix, of course, wants to have all the rights. That's why they started producing themselves. And they say, you know, we have almost 100 million subscribers. That's a much bigger audience than we can get when we release the film in the cinema. But of course, it's a very So French discussion.
Yeah, and it's a very delicate issue. And, you know, it brings together the new world and the
absolutely.
Old world, and, you know, cinema versus television. And,
and the cinemas, they have a point, of course, the distributors, because the film industry in France is very... very profitable. A lot of French films are being made. People are going to the movies very, very often. So it's a very flourishing industry. But at the same time, of course, Netflix and Amazon Prime and others will change the market. And these distributors, they say, yeah, you know, we don't want that anymore. We just want films that have been shown in the cinemas, in our cinemas in France. And, you know, well, tant pis for Netflix.
Well, and it looks like now, for now at least, it's a 1-0 win for the French cinema, because as of next year, it has been announced, these Netflix kind of productions will not be allowed to compete in the Cannes Film Festival. So only movies that actually will have a screening in cinema will be allowed to compete.
And now for some sad news. Love is dead, Sarah.
Yeah, l'amour is dead.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. For anyone who's been to Paris, I think this is very much of a personal story for me, because I remember when I first came to Paris and I kept bumping into love in every street corner, and literally, because it was written amour in the streets. And as a newcomer in Paris, in the city of love, and all of these romantic ideas you have about France and about Paris, I found that absolutely amazing. And there are so many stories. I mean, there are so many words that come up in your head when you see amour written in the street. You know, you fall in love, or you bump into love, or you walk all over love or whatever. And it turns out that these words were written by a French artist called Jean-Luc Duez. He started writing Amour in the Streets in 2001 after having been dumped by his then girlfriend. He first started actually by writing Je t'aime all over the place, but then he found out that he found it not enough open to the world. It was a bit too private to say Je t'aime because it was only directed to one person. So he then swapped and changed and started writing Amour, which he found was a more generous way and a more sharing way of spreading his love chagrin, his
broken heart,
exactly. Feelings, yeah. And he kept doing this and for more than 15 years.
Yeah.
Sadly enough, though, just last month, he passed away at the age only of 67. So there will be no new Amour written in the streets of Paris, but I hope that those who are already there will stay for a little bit longer, because I think that for many of, you know, when you walk around, you see these little tags everywhere. It sort of brings a smile on your
face. Yeah, it's nice, and it was very discreet as well. It was almost always written on the corner of the pavement, and then in white on the dirty pavement, and then slowly, gradually, it disappeared.
It wears out a little bit.
Yeah, it wears out, so it was really... like real love. It's a very local story, but a very sweet story. So there are still a lot of words, amour, of course.
Of course,
in the streets
across Paris. If you come here, I'm sure you will notice them.
But you have to be quick because they are fading away. It's a pity. It's just one of those small things that make the city a very lovely place to live in.
L'amour est mort, l'amour est vie. Il a rejoint les goélands. La grande maison est livide. Les portes claquent à tout moment. Ils ont oublié.
That was Jacques Brel singing L'amour est mort, love has died. And if you were thinking, what's all that noise in the background, those cups and glasses and cutlery? Well, that's because this week we've been recording our show at the Swedish club, Le Cercle Suédois, a beautiful club in the heart of Paris, right across the Louvre.
Thank you very much for the Swedish club for having us today.
Yeah, and if you're not Swedish, you can come here as well. You can have lunch or listen to jazz concerts. A really, really nice place. And the Rue de Rivoli. Merci. I don't know how you say thank you.
Tack så mycket, Svenska klubben.
Thank you very much. Thank you for listening. And that wraps up this edition of So French. We hope you have enjoyed it. You can follow us on Twitter at So French News. If you have any questions or suggestions, just send us an email. Our address is sofrench@sofrench.news.
And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast in iTunes, SoundCloud, or in the TuneIn radio application. And please share the podcast with your friends. And if you like French music, check out our playlist on Spotify. We update it regularly.
And we'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode of So French, online and on air, and on World Radio Paris. We hope you'll join us then. Thanks for listening.
Au revoir.